If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islam, dini wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the laws related to Amr Ma'ruf and Nahy an Munkar, which is the concept of enjoying the good and forbidding the evil, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. It's a couple of programs that we've started talking about the very concept and idea of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And we've started with the concept of, Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar, and whether it is obligatory. And also we talked about the conditions for that concept to be obligatory. Sheikh Javid, I'd appreciate it if you have anything to add to the previous, episodes about the concept and the conditions of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One of the conditions, and of course the last condition which I talked about in the previous episode, was that enjoining should not result in a bad consequence. Mm-hmm. For example, such as the life or the loss of life and the loss of reputation or the loss of money or any other negative consequences which are generally unbearable, mm-hmm. and which are lead to some kind of hardship and difficulty for that individual. So in that case, if it does lead to such consequences, negative consequences, then of course it becomes, it's no longer obligatory. Mm. And of course, in some cases, when you see that, for example, enjoying the good and forbidding the evil leads to such a grave or negative consequence, mm-hmm. that maybe you will end up losing your life, then it becomes haram. It's not permissible, mm-hmm. to take action, because you know that, okay, there are a group of people who have their weapons in their hands, or they have knives, for example. They are very much ready to hurt you.
Yes.
So in that case, you should just simply, go without,
ignore it.
Yeah, ignore it. Go without doing anything.
But sometimes people miscalculate.
You're right.
And misjudge.
Yeah, that's...
For example, you don't know the person, the individual that you want to, in fact, go to and enjoin the good for him, mm-hmm. right? Or prevent him from doing something bad or evil. But suddenly they, take a guard against you,
you're right.
Then they'll start fighting you.
Well, in that case, you're not to blame. You miscalculated. You're not to blame. Okay, you just thought that it is going to be of some help to those people. You were going to correct them, to remind them.
You had good intentions.
Yeah, you had the good intention, but those people suddenly...
think it's, something like a prevention, for example, or a kind of intervention in their own lives.
In their own lives, you're right. And let me say that according to His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah grant him long life, he says that one must take the importance of something into consideration. Mm-hmm. Something, for example, if the obligatory act or if the haram act is of great importance before Allah or in the eye of Allah. For example, like to maintain the life of a group of people, to protect the society or to maintain Islam or protect Islam, mm-hmm. It is highly, important and it is of tremendous importance. Then one should, His Eminence says that we should take the importance of something into consideration. Mm-hmm. For example, if something is very much critical, it is critical to the life of the society or the protection of the country, just as we see that in the for example, the Iranians fought the Ba'athist regime of Iraq. Mm-hmm. They sacrificed their lives. Thousands, of people went to the war front and they sacrificed their lives. It was a kind of, preventing evil.
Yes.
So that was of great importance.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it becomes necessary even to sacrifice your lives, depending on how important the issue is.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So There are certain stages which I would like to talk about.
Okay, let's actually postpone it to the next segment of our program, Sheikh Javid, if you agree.
Sure.
So let's have a break, and we'll be back and continue our discussion on that, the concept of enjoying the good and forbidding the evil according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about Ayatollah Khamenei's views on enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Sheikh Javid, let's start talking about the stages or the steps of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
Well, there are certain steps which we must know, and before we, you know, jump into any action to stop evil and to promote virtue, we must be cognizant and well aware of those stages or steps that we must take. Mm-hmm. First of all, you know, enjoining begins from your heart, from your intention or mind. By heart enjoining, it is meant to express one's hatred, one's disgust, you know. That is, for example, mukallaf, the duty-bound person, must express his inner hatred and aversion, you know.
Right.
And disgust for somebody's committing a sinful act or neglecting an obligation, you know. When you show your dissatisfaction or disgust, that could work. And provided that the other individual knows and sees your reaction to something.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be enough. If that helps prevent the evil, that's enough. You don't have to go to the next step, to the next stage. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then the second stage is there, oral enjoining. A duty-bound person must orally enjoin others to do obligatory acts or, forbid haram acts, you know, for refrain from doing haram acts.
Mm-hmm.
In this step, of course, if it seems probable that the aim will be achieved through, for example, preaching, advice, or a gentle speech, one should not take a more serious step, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we have to be very careful to follow the degrees or the stages. We should not jump into the harsh step or into practical enjoining as long as we can do oral enjoining, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if others avoiding a sin or performing an obligation depends on a harsh speech
right,
or threat, one must act accordingly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, a gentle speech does not work, then we have to resort to a harsh speech, to threat or and intimidation, and so on and so forth. Then there is, for example, there is a third stage. The third stage is practical enjoining. By practical enjoining, we mean that one must prevent the offender, the sinner, from committing a sin or avoiding an obligation, you know, by exerting authority and using a physical effort, you know, by taking action, using our hands to prevent someone from doing something. For example, you can, if someone is drinking wine, you can just grab the bottle of wine and throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a practical enjoining. And of course, it has to be noted that at the time of an established Islamic government, you know,
yes,
the practical enjoining is the duty of the government and not that of individuals, because it's very important that there should be an organization or an institution within the Islamic government. And of course, there is one such an institution that engages in promoting virtue and spreading virtue, spreading virtue and preventing evil. Of course, individuals cannot take the law into their own hands, mm-hmm. because there will be chaos, there will be mayhem, there will be, for example, lawlessness.
Yes.
Okay. So it is not permissible for an individual, as long as there is an Islamic institution that's promoting virtue, to take the law into his hand and, of course, and jump into action, preventing physically the people, the sinners, from doing such things. It's the duty of the Islamic government to do
exactly.
so.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
Sheikh Javid, for your nice talking and elaboration of some of these legal and jurisprudential statuses of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We say, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
الظاهر والباطن